The text for the sermon is from the scripture reading in Proverbs chapter 6 and the verses 20 through 24. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live in a world in which sin and misery and wickedness and death cast a long shadow. We get constant reminders of that in our own lives and in the world around. Sin and misery, wickedness, death cast a long shadow over life. That is a sad reality. It hasn't always been that way. God created all things good, and God created us very good. But then, because of mankind's sin in our first parents, Adam and Eve, sin and misery came into the world, and evil and death came into God's creation. And this affects all of human life in all sorts of ways, internally, externally, whether we are younger or older, whether we are here or there or somewhere else. This affects all of human life. And it means for us that from the moment of our conception, we have a nature that leans towards sin, a nature that inclines towards sin. And we are also then born into a world with sin all around. And obviously, that's not a good combination. We sinfully lean towards sin. And around us, the sinful world wants us, draws us constantly to sin. It's like two magnets drawn to each other. It's almost hopeless to try to keep them apart. And the trouble with that is that it all leads to death and eternal death. Death as a necessary consequence of sin. Death because of God's just judgment. We by nature want sin, and sin wants us. And together we are doomed by God. The good life, the true life leading to eternal life, is unattainable when it comes to us. We cannot reach it. And so the question is, how shall we find life, true life? How is good, lasting life even possible? It is only by God's grace for sinners, and that is the gospel, the good news. In Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in His grace, in Jesus His Son, by His Spirit, God saves sinners, saves us from the sin that dooms us. God saves sinners from the sin that is in us, and from the evil that draws us and pulls on us. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, God gives us the gift of a new heart and eternal life. God gives us to begin the true, good life today. He gives us to begin eternal life, lasting life in this world. Again, imagine it like two magnets where one magnet is now turned around. A radical reorientation. Now the one magnet, which is you, new by God's grace, changed by the Spirit in Christ, you are no longer attracted to the other magnet, to sin. Now the one magnet, you, repels the other magnet, which is sin, pushes it away. God has worked to change the orientation of your heart when you are in Christ. Living a new life in Christ by the Holy Spirit, living a new life in Christ by the Holy Spirit, is what the book of Proverbs, what the Bible calls wisdom. Wisdom is truly living. Living in sync with how God intended and intends life to be. Good life, lasting life. Restored life in Christ, which is good life, lasting life, successful living, repelling sin, conquering death. That is God's gift, and it is called wisdom. It is found in Jesus Christ. This is a gift of God, wisdom, a gift of God, which also fully engages us. It involves us. We participate, we join in. As a gift of God, He turns us from sin and death, so that we also turn from sin and death. In the book of Proverbs, this is shown in this way. Wisdom, true life, comes from God. It is a sovereign gift. And the wise person also seeks wisdom from God. God gives, and we seek what He gives. God gives the way of life, and the wise person also goes on the way of life. We participate, we are engaged in the new life in Christ. Wisdom, truly living, the saved life, is not the kind of gift that is something that you just receive in your hand. It is not something that you just paste onto your life. It is not something you carry around in your pocket. That's not how we should think of wisdom as the gift of God. It's not something added to us. It's not something God puts in our hand and you can carry it around in your pocket and you can take it out when you think you need it or when you think it's convenient. No. Wisdom is something that takes root in our hearts, so that as God is changing us, we also really change. Some of this comes together in the words of the text. We see here a person of wisdom, a person in Christ, a person who by the Spirit comes into the good and lasting life. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. The Word of God teaches us here that wisdom, life in Christ by the Spirit, true life, lasting life, comes to us, comes into us in a certain way. It comes from outside of us. It does not just fall from the sky. It's not something for you that you are left to find out. No, it says here, it comes to us via words, through the means of those set in a place over us by God for our good. And it's passed on from one generation to another. It's something to be learned. It's something to be taught, something to be learned. Father and mother are our own blood, so you can assume that they have good in mind for us. That's the assumption here. Father and mother come with authority, and they come with the Word of God to us. So the Father's commandment in the text, the Father's commandment and the mother's teaching, those aren't simply general terms of what parents do. And the commandment and the teaching doesn't originate with parents. The father's commandment, the mother's teaching, is a reference to the Word of God. In Old Testament terms, parents come with the law of Moses, the instruction of God for life. In New Testament terms, father and mother come with the fullness of God's revelation, the way of life in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And we can see here also that as the text speaks to the child and not to the parents, right? My son, that's an address to the child. The basic idea is that wisdom, life in Christ, comes to us when we put ourselves under the Word of God. We put ourselves under the Word of God. The Word of God, as it comes in teaching and commandment through the mouth of others, the wise person doesn't kick against that, doesn't let it go in one ear and out the other. That's what the fool does, but not the wise person. The wise person knows. The wise person says, the commandment and the teaching to hear and understand the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the source of life. I must receive it. Just like father and mother are the source of life, biologically speaking, just like food and drink sustain life, so the Word of God is the source of spiritual life. And then the text says here, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Do this, don't do that. Take it seriously. Don't brush it off. Don't take it lightly. Don't abandon it. Hold on to it like it matters. Don't dump it when it's not convenient to you. Keep the commandment. Forsake not. Abandon not the teaching. Take it to you. Take it with you. The Word of God that gives wisdom is like a treasure. You keep it. You don't let go of it. In the next verse, verse 21, the Proverbs take this a step further. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. Referring again to the commandment, the teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. Take in the Word of God and internalize it so it affects who you become and how you are identified. The wise person understands that God's Word, the faithful instruction of parents and others, is not to give parents something to do, to fill the time. It is for forming the heart and equipping for life. It is of deep value to shape us. The commandment, the teaching, the Word of God, the gospel of Christ, it is not an exercise simply in passing on information. It's not given to you so that you can pass the test. The wise person knows this is to shape me, to train me for life, to take over my values, the things I hold dear. It determines the things that I will reject. It is to take over my view of the present and the future, of this world and the next. It is to impress on me that God with Christ is on the throne today and is one day coming again, and I must live in light of that. That makes everything different for me. And I know this in my heart. Tie them around your neck. Right? Bind them on your heart. Tie them around your neck. Perhaps that's meant as an ornament around the neck. Decorate your life with the truth that you are taught. Because it is true life. It is beautiful. It makes beautiful. Tie it around your neck. It does seem to be emphasizing something outward. So the heart and then the neck. Bind them on your heart. Always tie them around your neck. Inward and outward. It's about who you are deeply, but also how you come across. Make it your life. Wear it everywhere with delight. And the word always sits right in the middle of those two lines in verse 21. And it can serve a double function. Bind them on your heart always, and always tie them around your neck. The Word of God, the way of life in Christ, is not something to influence you occasionally. No, it's for always. It's to be consistent, to be regular. This is the new you. Not just for one day of the week. Not just in places where it's acceptable to live by the truth. In every circumstance, and in difficult challenges, you don't put it on and take it off again at the end of the day. No, this is who you are. A confessor of the Word of God. A follower of Jesus Christ. A new person in the Spirit. Your identity, your motivation, your reason, your purpose, your destiny. And it doesn't matter what the people around think or say. This is who you are. Outside influence doesn't change who you are. Peer pressure doesn't pressure you to be something different. And then in verse 22, the text takes a slight turn. Here we see the fruit of taking the Word of God, the gospel, to heart. Here we see the benefit, the blessing of keeping the commandment, not forsaking the teaching, the consequence of binding them on the heart always, tying them around the neck. The teaching, the commandment are pictured here as being like the shepherd of your life. Verse 22, the shepherd of your life. These are shepherd-like activities. When you walk, they will lead you, right? The commandment and the teaching. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. Wisdom, the way of life taught by the Word of God, taken to heart, wisdom becomes like a constant companion for a life of peace and rest and safety. Like a shepherd is a constant companion of his sheep and is a blessed presence, always there for good. Verse 22 really does portray a very settled life, a life at rest. Things go smoothly in the deepest sense. Even when there's chaos all around, things go smoothly for those whose hearts and lives are settled on the Word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ, settled in wisdom. When you walk, when you lie down, when you wake up, day and night, here and there, in this thing or in that thing, the truth of God in Jesus Christ has taken hold of you in such a way that life works. Life makes sense. Life flows. Everywhere safe. Even though it's a chaotic world in which we live, not in your heart. The chaos doesn't unsettle the heart of those who are in Christ. You are wise to the higher and deeper and lasting realities. You know where to go, how to live, whom to trust. You can lie down and rest. You can get up and know where you are. And you can face the next thing. And then this is explained, expanded on in verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light. With the added thought, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. So the lamp and light and life. The wise person, the person in Christ under the Word of God, has light and life. In the Bible, light and life go together, as do darkness and death. Darkness and death are the things that dominate in the world of sin. There is no guidance in the dark, and so there will be no good outcome. Darkness, death. But those in Christ, those under the Word of God, those who go by the gospel, have light and life wherever you go. Guidance and a good outcome, light and life. Not lost, not walking in the dark, not stumbling about, not easy prey for wild animals. And so you always come out at the right ending, which is life. There is mention here in the second part of verse 23, mention of reproof and discipline. The wise person understands that correction is also necessary because of the reality of remaining sin. Think again of the magnets. The magnet that has been turned around resists, repels the other magnet. But that's not all that's going on. There's still the leftover attraction, the other side of the magnet. The pull of sin, in other words, doesn't quit entirely in this life. The presence of sin is not all gone yet. The wise person understands that. I need correction too, sometimes with discipline. But that belongs, says the Word of God, that belongs to the way of life. Discipline, correction, it doesn't get in the way of life. The reproofs of discipline are the way of life. And of course, no one receiving discipline, reproof, likes to think of it that way. It doesn't feel that way to be disciplined. Discipline is humbling. Discipline is painful. But only the fool resists discipline. The fool sees no way of life in it at all. The fool says, discipline is getting in the way of my life. The Word of God says, and the wise person understands, the Word of God says the reproofs of discipline are the way of life to bring us back into the light. And here is also then where the text is moving towards a darker theme in the way of a warning word, quite deliberate and quite vivid. It comes in verse 24, but then it goes on beyond verse 24 all the way to the end of the chapter. It's the word of warning about the adulteress, a lengthy word of warning. We can even draw the conclusion here that this here in verse 24 and following, this here is where the Word of God from verse 20 was going all along. This here is really what it was all going to be about. So this that we've looked at in verses 20 through 23 is a setup for the warning, verse 24 and following. So verses 20 through 23, which we've seen already, the Word of God is showing what sort of careful and sober preparation is needed to face the danger of the adulteress. So why do we need the commandment and the teaching? Why do we need to bind it on the heart? Why tie it around the neck? Why do it always? Why do we need the commandment and the teaching to be like a shepherd for us? Why the lamp and the light? Why the reproofs of discipline? Verse 24, to preserve you, to keep you, to guard you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. And when that is all described, so verses 24 to the end of the chapter, verse 35, when that is all described, the adulteress, the trap that she is, the consequences of falling into the trap, we can be reminded of how the Lord spoke to Cain in Genesis 4 about sin. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. The adulteress here is very much pictured as a real adulteress, so take it literally. No doubt a real temptation to be taken literally, and certainly not less than literally. But it could also be that on a second level, the adulteress is like the personification of sin and folly. A familiar theme in Proverbs and in this part of the book of Proverbs. The adulteress is like the personification of sin. She represents sin, its lure, its trap, its consequences. There is destruction just around the corner in this dark world. And the destruction comes in as being attractive. It's not hard to go that way. And that's not because we are attracted to destruction, but because it doesn't look like destruction. It doesn't sound like destruction. It looks like, it sounds like something desirable. And if we did not have the commandment and the instruction, if we did not have the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth from above shaping, taking hold of our hearts and wearing it around our necks, if we did not have the commandment and the teaching as our constant shepherd, if we did not have the lamp and the light and the reproofs of discipline, we would be swallowed up. We would be swallowed up because of our own sin and by the sin all around us. And we would be swallowed up willingly. Right? That's how it goes. That's what's being described here. The wise person understands how it goes. We would go willingly. We need constant saving from sin, because sin is a power and a cruel attraction. Where Proverbs 6 ends, it's so clear, speaking about the consequences of adultery. For jealousy makes a man furious. So this is beyond the text towards the end of the chapter. For jealousy makes a man furious in the context of adultery, and he will not spare when he takes revenge. He will accept no compensation. He will refuse, though you multiply gifts. With a little bit of imagination, that sounds like the hopelessness of eternal judgment appearing before God in the end. You cannot pay your way out of sin. You cannot pay your way out, no matter if you multiply gifts. This is why the Lord God has given us His Son, has given us the way out. Take hold of Christ, who is your wisdom, and take Him into your heart, and apply God's way of life, the strength of the Spirit, the truth of the gospel. Do it to resist sin in all of its forms, not only in terms of adultery. Sin dresses up nice. Sin talks nice in all kinds of ways, whether it be through money or alcohol, other substances, through the lust for power or popularity. Sin dresses up nice. Sin talks nice, and we will be drawn. The wise person will go back to the source of spiritual life from God in Christ, because life is from God and is good and is lasting in Christ. And the wise person will take the instruction to heart always and will let it shepherd them, will walk in its light by the lamp from above, will accept reproofs of discipline. It's the only way to be preserved from sin in us and from sin around us. To be preserved from the destruction that sin is, from the destruction that sin will bring in the end. Wisdom for the wise. And the wise, isn't that you as well? Bind the Word of God, the Word of Christ on your heart, always. Have you tied it around your neck? Isn't this who you are, wise in Christ, living by the Spirit? God has given life to us. He has graciously given Christ and the Spirit. He has given the good life, which is lasting life, and glorious in the end. We will not let it go. Will we? By God's grace, you will finish strong one day because you take to heart wisdom for the wise. Amen.